Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach.
On today's podcast, we are talking about kink and BDSM. This episode is super juicy. It is a woman joining us who is part of the community, who is sharing her journey and how she has used it to empower herself sexually, how she helps other women empower themselves sexually, and what to look for. Maybe if you are somebody who wants to explore the submissive role, how to find a dom, what are some red flags when looking for a dom? So many juicy details in this episode. Before we jump into today's episode, I wanted to let you know that Sexy Box is back. Sexy Box is my quarterly subscription box to help you spice things up in the bedroom, try new things, explore, experiment. It's all about you. And it is such a fun way to just try something different and help you feel sexy, confident, empowered in the bedroom. Sexy Box is for singles and couples. It has all kinds of fun tools in there to help you explore and experiment your body and your partner's body if you have one. Each box is filled with over $100 worth of product. If you haven't already subscribed to Sexy Box, you are going to want to do that by going to sexybox.jordandonnell.com. Some of the reviews that I'm getting about Sexy Box is that ladies are loving the surprise of getting their Sexy Box. They are using all of the different products that come in there. There's typically somewhere between 3 and 4 products in each Sexy Box, and these are full-size items as well as a toy. A full regular old toy, you guys. The price is unbelievable, but it's so much more than that because this is just really a tool to connect with yourself and or partner if you have one. So be sure to check it out. Joining me today is Mika. She is a kinky educator and sex coach for submissive women who are starting out their BDSM journey of self-discovery and empowerment. She has been on the BDSM scene for 7 years, taking part in fetish events and being in a few dom-sub dynamics herself. She is a proud, empowered, submissive brat in a constant journey of exploring the kink world and herself. So, Mika, I'm so excited to have you here to chat about kink and BDSM and all of that fun stuff. I know it is a topic that so many people are interested in, but don't necessarily know how to get into it or all of that. And I'm excited to chat with you about that. How did you get into kink and BDSM?
I got into kink around 7 years ago. And I always knew that I was a little bit on a kinky side. Like I had sexual fantasies that were a little bit more out there, not normative, like as you would know, call like vanilla sex. But it was actually one date that I went 7 years ago on. And it was quite interesting because we kissed and he pulled my hair. And I let a bit of a sigh out. And he's like, oh, I think you might be into that. And I was like, what do you mean? So then he introduced me to the world of a bit of kink, BDSM. And he introduced me to this a website called FetLife. So FetLife is like a Facebook for kinksters, and you make yourself a profile, you say what you're into, you say if you're in relationships, you can post photos, writings, videos, whatever. But the most exciting thing about FetLife is that people post events on it, and you can find events in your town or wherever the biggest town closest to you. And I just went ahead. I went to one of the events and I had a lot of fun. I met a lot of people. And I think my journey started from there. And I kind of knew there was no going back. Even though I tried going back into some vanilla relationships after that, didn't quite work. So now I know that this is something that it will always be there for me. And I'll always try to incorporate into my future relationships.
I love that. And I'm curious, what is your erotic blueprint?
Oh, that's quite interesting. So mine is mostly kinky. Obviously, I actually don't remember exactly what other, there were other two parts, but yeah, mine is mostly kinky, which is not surprising.
Yeah, I expected that, but I wasn't totally sure if that's what it was or not, because you never know. And I'm curious, as a newbie in kink, what was that like?
So as a newbie in kink, well, it's, I'm not gonna lie, it's quite daunting at the beginning, because you suddenly hit, especially when you go on FetLife, you suddenly hit with a lot of naked pictures, a lot of things that you don't really understand. And there's, if you have never been exposed to kink, it's a bit like, oh, people like peeing on people? Fine, oh, have an open mind. But if you're suddenly just like, whoa, there's this another world that I have never experienced before, it can be quite... It can be a lot. It can be quite shocking to understand, like, see what people are into. And some things you might think, oh my God, I didn't even think that could be a thing. But, you know, for some people, it's their jam. So don't yuck their yum. So it can be quite overwhelming, shocking, and daunting. But there are a lot of ways to basically ease yourself in. So as I mentioned, for example, when you go on FetLife, you can find events. And yes, you can go to sex parties, you can go to kink fetish parties, but there's also a big side of it, social sites, and it's called Munches. So Munches is basically kinky meetup, but in very normal social settings. So you go to the pub or a bar, and you would just meet people that are into it. And it's just like people having drinks with each other. So usually you go in and people are so nice. I cannot express how nice people are when you go to those Munches and how welcoming they are. It's nervous. It is nerve-wracking. I'm not going to lie. It is, especially when you go on your own and you meet people that obviously will be a lot of talk about sex, but they ease you in. And as soon as you start talking, it's fine. So even though it's a quite daunting world, I think it's super open and there's a lot of nice people there who really want to make you feel welcomed, because I believe as part of BDSM and kink, if you have sex fantasies that are a bit out there and they scare you, you might think, oh, there's something wrong with me. And first of all, there's nothing wrong with you, as long as you did it safely and consensually. But also the point I'm trying to make is that you go in there and you think, oh my God, I'm weird. But then a lot of other people might be thinking, oh, we also are weird. So it's almost like you find your tribe and you find your people that you can be weird with together. And suddenly the weird becomes a bit normal. And it's like, okay, you like spanking? You like pain? Fine, we love it too. Come on in. So it's actually, it can quickly become a very lovely place where you feel very much at home. I don't know how to explain it, but I've been going to the kink parties 7 years ago, 6 years ago. Then I had quite a big break and I started to go back this year again. And honestly, it was like coming home. And I don't know how else to explain this this feeling, but it's just being among your people. And suddenly you kind of feel so eased in. And it's actually really nice. And it's really lovely.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I actually had a FetLife account. I got one, oh gosh, probably 9 years ago. And I've never used it, but I had one just kind of to explore and see what all is out there. I had had some friends that had one. I was looking for a sugar daddy, not going to lie. I was looking. And, you know, FetLife is a very interesting place. And I actually recommend a lot of my clients check out FetLife because there is so much possible. And you can find the people that are your tribe that have similar likes that you like and help you feel more like comfortable with what your kinks are. I think it's so interesting. Like I interview a lot of different coaches on my podcast and we all have our own little areas and our own little expertise. And what I find is that we all become coaches in a certain area for a particular reason. And your like field of expertise is all about empowering and kink. And I've had Erin, my friend Erin, on. Hers is all about non-monogamy. And we all have had our own like special journeys that got us to this point. And I'm curious, like, how has kink and BDSM helped you with self-empowerment and discovery of your own body?
So in terms of empowerment, it's definitely, I think it was a lot of it is coming to terms with what you like and being okay with it and being okay with the fact that, for example, I like pain and it's making me excited and just kind of coming to terms with that bit. And that has been extremely empowering for me. And I would, as a first step for everybody who I'm coaching, is to say, okay, you like that and there's nothing wrong with it. And like kind of self-realizing that you're not weird. You just haven't met your tribe yet. And you will find, if you look for it, you'll find people to be weird with. So that was extremely empowering in terms of a self-acceptance. But also, what I absolutely love is when you go to kink parties and BDSM clubs, you see people of all shapes and sizes. And you see so much confidence around you. And you just see people being confident in themselves, regardless of how they look. And I think that has to go out to a lot of women who are struggling with their appearance. The fact that you are absolutely stunning, no matter the size or shape you are, or no matter what you like to do and who you are. And the same with, I met a lot of trans people, and they, I love to see them being so empowered, showing the truth, their true selves. And I think that could be translated into absolutely anything. Being in love with yourself, with your body, and with you, what you love, I think that gives you so much empowerment and helps you enjoy the sex, because you then know what you enjoy and you ask for it, and you're not afraid to ask for it either. And a big part of BDSM community as well is communication. So we talk a lot about negotiation boundaries even before we start to play. And no, it's not a turn off. It actually could be a turn on, you know. So you learn a lot about communication as well. So all those things that you learned through being around people and studying from them and how they behave before the scene, during the scene, after the scene, it really gives you a lot of empowerment. And also, I'm big of knowing stuff, because for me, knowing makes me feel safe. So the more you know, I feel the more you're also empowered in yourself. Because, for example, if you find a dom who is a faker, you know what you look for, what you need to look for in them. So basically, with the knowledge, you feel empowered to that, you know, you're making the right decisions. Because let's not kid ourselves, kink and BDSM is a risky play, you know. Stuff, I don't know if I can swear, but shit can come up. And the biggest part is knowing what can happen. And that gives you empowerment when you go to the play. So I think there's loads of avenues that we can talk about and lot of things that can bite what gives me self-empowerment. But overall, the journey of knowing what I like and learning more about it and meeting people and seeing how they do it gave me a lot of confidence and empowerment and enough so I want to teach it to other people, and I want to be that hand holder for new subs and new women who are just discovering that they might be into it.
Yes, I love that. And so interesting. I was dating somebody recently and I had told them that being out in California makes me feel a lot more confident, because although there is a high rate of people who have plastic surgery, Botox, fillers, all of the non-natural things, there are so many women who just embrace their bodies for what they are out in California. Everybody seems to run around in sports bras and booty shorts. And when you're surrounded by a lot of other women who are confident like that, it really helps you embrace your own confidence as well. And so I totally can see how in the BDSM community, seeing people who are just feeling good in their damn skin makes such a huge difference for your own confidence. Within the BDSM community, there is so much to be learned about sex. I find that the BDSM community has some of the best guidelines, so to speak, for talking about consent, consensual sex, and really negotiation. I'm sure I've had some other people on talking a little bit more about kink, but you know, we've talked about the acronym RAC, things like that. There is just so much that the BDSM community can help educate us when it comes to all types of sex, whether you are into kink or not. You call yourself a submissive brat, What does that even mean?
When you get into the kink world, the most common word that you hear is dom sub. So dominant and submissive. So I'm the person that's a submissive. So I'm the one that is the bottom in the play or the one that gives up control during the scene. So that's the submissive part. I like to give up my control. The brat part is where it kind of gets a bit more personal. So brat is a person who is a bit cheeky, doesn't like to do how she's told, and purposefully kind of does against what Dom has said, just to add a bit of spice in the relationship, just to see how much she can push the boundaries and get the angry look and get the punishment that she actually wants. So we call that punishments. So usually it's, for example, for me, it's like, okay, so I'm going to call you a dickhead. So I'll get 20 spanks for that. And I know that because that's the rules that we agreed on. And the Dom was going to keep a tally and then we'll sort it out between ourselves in the scene. But yeah, you can, submissive brat is basically someone who still likes to give up the control, likes the dominant to take in charge, but she likes to be cheeky about it and she likes to push the buttons and see how far she can push before the Dom just snaps and goes for her, basically.
Ooh, that sounds so fun. You talked about the scene. For somebody who's not in BDSM, what does that mean when we talk about the scene?
Yeah, sure. So the scene is actually where the fun stuff happens, so the sex. And to be fair, it's quite interesting because we talk about the scene and we talk about what can happen, like, I don't know, impact play, rope bondage, and other sensory play or some kind of more rougher place, consensual consent. That can all happen during the scene. But the most interesting, I find the most labor-intensive part comes before the scene because you have to talk about your boundaries, talk about the negotiations, what you're into, what you want, what you don't want. Talk about your aftercare after the scene. And everybody thinks that the scene is the most important, but I strongly believe that what you talk about before is the most important part. Because that's where you create the safety in the container and trust between Dom and Sub that you can give up the control and Sub is not gonna, Dom is not going to misuse it, basically. But yeah, the scene is the fun part. The scene is the where the magic happens and the asses get bruised and everything like that. So it's all the lovely stuff.
Yes. Now, is every sexual encounter a kinky encounter or in the BDSM form? Or do you have other sexual encounters that aren't necessarily kink in nature?
Yes, we do, of course. I mean, people who are into kink and BDSM are normal people. We don't always just slap each other's asses until we can't take anymore. We still want feelings. We still want connection and the care. So yes, we do have so-called vanilla sex, which is without the spice. And it can happen and it does happen, obviously. It's whatever you're into. BDSM is very customizable. It doesn't have to be strictly, okay, every day we're going to do this amount of spanks or whatever. If you don't want to do it, you don't do it. There, again, lots of communication going back and forth. And if you're not feeling up for it, you don't do it. And the relationships, however type they can be 24/7, which means that somebody will, the dominant will always have a control over the submissive in all the areas of the life. So submissive can give up control in, for example, decision-making throughout the life, but it's not a position of weakness. It's actually a position of strength because also dominant has massive responsibility because now he has to not only take care of your own life, but also submissive life. So yeah, 24/7, then you can do only, for example, dominance and submission over just a scene play. So just when you have sex or whenever you want to, it could be just on the weekends. And it could be just on a specific day. It's whatever works. But also, quite interestingly, not a lot of people know that, but BDSM scene doesn't always equal sex. And I think that's quite a surprising fact for many people because we always think that BDSM kink is this sexual experience where it always ends up penetration or any other form of sex. It actually doesn't. So one of my play partners this year, he considers himself kinky, he's quite dominating. And we always said, I'm going to take you to a BDSM club because he has never been. He'd done other things in a more swinger scene. So I said to him, okay, just make sure you wear like nice clothes, nice shirts, like nice trousers and nice shoes, because like you have to look presentable. And he was like, but why? Aren't we going to take our clothes off straight away? And I was like, no, 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 no. This is not how we play. So surprise, like to his surprise, we have never seen sex in the BDSM club. In fact, on those nights that I go to, you can't have sex. It's just basic pure play and pure just kink and fetish and a bit of nice filth. So it's good, but not much sex. So he was extremely surprised because he was like, we're gonna see some sex. Obviously there are a couple of playrooms, so you can go and lock the doors and you can do whatever you want, so it's fine, but not sex in the in a full show in a room full of people. So a lot of people think kink nights and swingers nights are very similar, just more of a kink play in the kink nights, but actually swingers nights are for fucking, kink nights are for kinky stuff. So that's quite a surprise for people that it doesn't have to always end in sex. For example, some of my scenes, like rope bonded, I never had sex during the scene. It was mostly just being tied up, being put into very contorted shapes, and basically go into subspace, and you kind of come out of it and you have aftercare. And that can be it. And that's enough to build intimacy between dom and sub. It doesn't always have to be sex. So that's quite an interesting fact that not many people know about. But no, circling back to your question, it doesn't always have to be kinky sex. It can be whatever the hell you want it to be. And if you fancy vanilla sex, you do vanilla sex.
I love that. And I actually did not know that BDSM did not equal penetration or some form of sex every time. I think that's a really good distinction. And I think that it's important to know that everybody's just a human. And sometimes you can have kinky sex all the time. Sometimes you have kinky sex on occasions. Sometimes you have kinky sex with certain partners and not others. And it just really depends.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And again, we're only humans. We can have bad mental health days, we might just not be up for it. What we might want to do in the morning and talk about it, we might not want to do in the evenings. And it's absolutely fine to say. That's why we communicate, because if we do something against ourselves, it is so visible. And shit goes wrong in a scene, and you don't want that to happen, because if somebody's not in the mindset, like, it's just not going to work in a way. But yeah, it can... That's what I love about kink, because it can be whatever you want it to be. And as you said, with one partner, you might just do that. With other partner, you might do that. And that's also beauty of playing with other people.
Yes, when you have multiple play partners. So you are submissive, which means that typically you're going to be looking for doms when you are playing in the kink world and the BDSM world. What are some things to look for in a dom?
Sure. So I actually thought about it recently, and there's actually a lot, and I'm afraid I'm gonna forget some. But first of all, I think it has to be open to communication, because I believe without proper communication with somebody, you cannot establish an appropriate, and also has to be open to becoming better and moldable, as you can say, because when you meet someone new, you need to adjust to them. You need to adjust to the boundaries and what they like and what they don't like. You can't have it your way all the time, because this is other person and it's a risky play, and consent, obviously. So that, and Dom has to be very caring. I think that can go to both. All of the things that I'm going to mention will go both to Dom and sub, but specifically ask for Dom. So it has to be caring, because again, the Dom can beat the shit out of you with different toys, but then at the end of the day, it has to look after you as well in aftercare, ask you what you need, what you would like, was it good? Hopefully he wouldn't cross any boundaries. So obviously always a safe word. You have a safe word during the play. So again, if he wouldn't listen to you during the play, obviously, I wouldn't highly recommend going into the play, because if you say for it, then he wouldn't do anything. And so I said communication, care, willing to be flexible, and I have many more that I wanted to say, but now my mind gone blank. He has to be also like receptive to feedback, but that's linking to the communication part of it. But yeah, I would say he will have to be a very caring person. He has to be a good listener, very good at communication, and open to feedback and kind of being moldable.
So when I think of Dom situations, I have heard of situations where it doesn't go well. It doesn't go as planned. Potentially they're untrained Doms. I don't know if that's the proper terminology, but who use their power inappropriately. How do you avoid situations like that?
Yeah, so I think it can all come out in the negotiation phase before the sex happens or the scene happens. So what we usually go through in terms of when you meet someone new, someone as a dom, we go through a vetting process. So in terms of the vetting, we ask questions such as, what has your experience been like? How many subs did you had before? Can I speak to them? Could you tell me why your dynamic didn't work? What has happened? And basically, we would talk about the previous experience. And it's easier when you meet them in a person-to-person setting. So for example, if you meet them on lunches or if you meet them on events, you know that they go to the events and they're known by multiple people. So it creates this kind of safety that you can ask someone else about them. Or for example, when you go on a date with them, probably if you're unsure about the person, don't go and have a scene with them straight away. Just meet them for coffee and then rethink. But I would mostly ask for the experiences, past relationships, why did other relationships finish? Also, obviously, if they are happy to share their STI and STD status, what kind of form of protection would you use? And if he's being weird about it, you know there's something wrong. So ask those questions about safety. For example, we can ask about like negotiations. So what does he do? What kind of aftercare he provides or he likes to provide? What kind of safe word does he use? And has anybody safe worded during a scene before? And what has happened? And how did he go on from there? What kind of amendments did he make going forward with this person? And basically just ask as many questions as you can about himself and how he reacts and behaves with other people. And if you feel that something is wrong and something is not adding up, that's probably not a good sign. Or for example, if he says, well, I don't use safe words. I don't expect safe words. Or if you're a sub and you say safe word, you're not a good sub. That is a big red flag and that's a no-no. So also if he says, well, I don't provide aftercare. You don't need aftercare. That's a big red flag as well. So it's a big no-no. And there's a lot that you can go through the vetting process. And if you just don't feel like it's the right thing to do, don't go for it. Usually with the information that you've been provided and your gut feeling together combined, the gut feeling saying no, it's a no. So if you're unsure about something, don't do it, because it can potentially, I don't want to use traumatizing, but it could provide a bad experience for you. And this is exactly not what you want. And because then you can be traumatized and not want to do it again. But ultimately, if you're going to see, you should know the risks that are involved within a scene. So if you want to do something with somebody, for example, let's say impact play, you should discuss with them what kind of tools they will use, how many spanks, how you're going to communicate. If the person seems shady about it, don't do it. And then also, if you know what you expect, you can communicate it. And if that's not getting through, don't do it. But I strongly believe if you go to the scene with all the risks assessed by you, you should be fine. And then there are things within the scene that should protect you from it. So, for example, safe word. That's the biggest protection. So that's where also the RAC and SSC terms come that you referred at the beginning. So risk aware consensual kink and SSC, which stands for safe, sane and consensual. And these basically sum up everything. But yeah, it's hard out there for a sub because you have to do a lot of vetting because you're putting a lot of trust in this person. So it's hard, but what you can do is ask as many questions about everything that bothers you. And no question is question too big to for a person that is right for you to play with. And also just be mindful because you also know what you're going with it. The more information, the more comfortable you will feel both within yourself and with this other person. But it's hard. But we make it work. That's why you want to have a community around you, because the more people you know, the more people will know the person that you're playing with. And the more you can get feedback on as well. And you soon realize that the kink community is pretty small and a lot of people know a lot of people. So yeah, that's the problem is when someone from outside comes in and wants a bit of you and it's a bit dodgy.
Yeah. And I think you totally read my mind in that the vetting process is extremely important and something that we need to talk about. Do you offer like any programs to help women who want to empower their submissive side and go after their desires or help coach them through finding a dom that is suitable for them, who meets the vetting criteria process and all of that?
Yeah, so throughout this year, I've launched a course on BDSM 101 that was basically your introduction to kink. And I'm pretty sure I'll be launching it again next year and trying to get a lot of newly submissives in to do that. But I'm not going to lie, I love speaking to people like I speak to you. So my preferred way is always one-to-ones. So I'll be launching that as well quite soon and I'll be able to take on one-to-one clients based on the coaching basis. And I find that when you have somebody there who's already been through it, it's so much easier and so much more comfortable because this person can tell you what to look out for. And obviously, you can 100% find out for yourself. And when you join the communities, I strongly believe that's the best way to do it, to meet people who can handhold you through it. And there will be pitfalls. You will meet people, especially on dating apps, who will have no clue what dominant submissive dynamic is. You just have to be quite careful with that and look out for red flags. But as soon as you meet somebody and you're guided by somebody, be it the community or sex coach like me, it's so much easier and so much more obvious what to look for, what not to look for. So that's my goal, to empower new submissive women, females, to look out for what they want and not be afraid to ask for it. Because again, a lot of it is being boiled down to confidence and asking for it. And I believe we as women, we sometimes struggle to specify what we want. And sometimes we're not confident enough. But seeing other people do it makes it so much easier. So even when you want to go to a BDSM club, just to see how other people do it, that's already such a big experience and such a valuable experience for you, because you see people there playing, and obviously during the scene you communicate as well, and you have your traffic light system in terms of the safe words, so you can learn already a lot. But if you're not confident enough, probably somebody who can hold you hand to hand on one-on-ones or during the course would probably be a bit better, especially like if you have a partner already, you just want to explore it with a partner as well. It's a very good experience for both people as well.
Yeah. And I've learned that like in the coaching world, as far as hiring my own coaches, that it's so much easier to learn something from somebody who's already been there, done that. And then you're not going to Google, potentially getting the wrong information. You're being guided by somebody who has had similar life experiences, which helps so much. Now, I'm curious, what are you currently exploring in the world of kink and BDSM?
That's So this year has been pretty good in terms of the exploring. And that was my goal for this year, just to explore and find new things. And one thing that caught me by surprise is that I think I have a bit of a daddy kink. So I had a play partner this year, and he really enjoyed being called daddy. And I was like, bloody hell, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. But then I kind of started to do it, and I saw how much he enjoys it. And I was like, okay, I can get down with that. I can see that. And then as the time has passed, after a few months, I was like, daddy this. And I was like, what the hell? I think something clicked. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. So that has been a very nice experience. And part of daddy dom little girl dynamic is the fact that somebody takes care of you and you're being cared for. And that was so nurturing. And I really, really loved that part. And obviously me being a brat, obviously I couldn't get away with punishments. But the aftercare after that was absolutely amazing. And I had really good fun exploring that. So that was one part. And the other part is rope bondage. So yesterday actually, I had a nice scene in terms of the rope bondage. So I met someone in the BDSM club, and he was really good at, and everybody says they're good at rope, but then at the end of the day, they only like bind your hands to the bed, and that's about it. That's at least what I found. So it's very hard to find a rope rigger that's actually really good at it and knows what he's doing. So it was really interesting to observe him for a part of it, because the other part of his scene, I was being spanked. So that kind of was also quite an interesting experience. But coming back to the rope guy, he has been doing it for around 5 years, and he has this quite interesting style that he likes to play within. It's called Seminawa. And basically, it's very similar to Shibari. Shibari is quite artistic rope, but Seminawa is more torture rope. So he basically pushes you, stretches you to very interesting angles and ways that you didn't think you could. And he enjoys the part of torturing your body and seeing expressions on your face. To be honest, that was a very interesting experience, because I thought I would like it, but I really liked it, to the point that it was very easy for me to go into subspace during that experience. So subspace is a space during the scene where submissive goes, and it's very much detached from the real world. So she doesn't really pay attention. They don't really pay attention to what's going on in the outside world. They're kind of in the zone, in their own mind, switched off, not responding to the outside world. And I didn't have many experiences of going to subspace, but seems like the role play is very, very easy for me to slot into that because of the feel of the rope on your body. So when he tied me up, it was kind of mind freeing in a way that, okay, I'm in this little parcel now, and I can't really get out of here. And he takes care of it, and he knows what he's doing. And at some point, like at the beginning, I was observing what he's doing, and it was very interesting because he was using, for example, my staircase handrail to bind me to it, but also stretch me to the door handle. So quickly I was like, the creativity in here is pretty fucking cool. That's for a start. And the second part of it was like, I'm losing track what he's doing here. I don't really know what he's attaching to what. So I'm just going to like switch off my head and just let it go. And that's the part when I was like, I don't really know which part of my body is where, but I'm just in that state where I'm just completely let go. And to be fair, subspace in role play is very different to subspace in impact play, because with impact play, obviously you get this hits and it's quite quick and it's very painful. So I found subspace with impact play where the hits are being given one after another rhythmically, and you can go into that meditative space where you just like breathe in and out and in and out, and you get this pain and endorphins. But with soap, with the rope, it's more like you go into it and you just let go and you just melt into your body and you melt into the rope. And he's a very good rope rigger and he makes me feel very safe. And I know what he's doing, because with rope, as I said, people think they know what they're doing, but actually rope is quite hard because you have a lot of nerve endings and you can provide a lot of nerve damage and you can cut off circulation. So you really have to know what you're doing. And he does. And that makes me feel safe. And it's so much easier for me to go into subspace. So I had that experience actually yesterday. It was quite impromptu and it was great. And also, I don't know if we're going to talk about it, but I think there's a part of King that also is great for healing. And I strongly believe that. I think I'm in a process of going through it. But also with the rope, I had, for example, pretty stressful week, even though I had a good week, a lot of things sorted, but stressful. And all I needed is someone to just take care of me. And what he has done, he kind of really judged my mood quite well. So he literally folded me in a parcel, like my knees were my chin. And I was just sitting there and rope kind of hugged me. So I was in child's pose and it was like, and relax and breathe. And that was kind of like, okay, I'm being taken care of. I'm in a scene. Nothing else matters. Subspace. And that is an amazing experience. And honestly, I would encourage anybody to get themselves out there if they even have an inkling of that they might like kink or BDSM. And because magic happens on the other side of those doors, you know? So yeah, those are two things that made quite a big impact on me this year and unlocked new kinks. And it was great. I'm really having a lot of fun with it. Highly recommend anybody to go behind those doors.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And you definitely inspired me to put together some podcasts on bondage and different types of rope play. I am familiar with Shibari. I learned about that, oh gosh, probably about 7-ish years ago, and never experienced it, but I'm familiar with what it is. And I think that would be awesome to get some expert on here to talk a little bit more about that and how to incorporate that. And thank you for inspiring me.
I think it's a great idea for you to get someone on it. And rope, finding out about rope was my goal for this year as well. So, and I kind of uncovered it. And I think there's so much more to learn as well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And I want to know, where can the listeners find you at?
Sure. So at the moment, I'm on Instagram at kinkyandempowered. And shoot me a DM there and we can take it off there.
Love it. Thank you so much, Mika, for joining me today.
It's okay. My pleasure. It was such an awesome conversation.
This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life, or feel like you're having good sex but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns, or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again, and see you next episode.